Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Deen Show. We have a exciting episode for you today, as always. So don't go anywhere. Sheikh Omar Suleiman is with us. We're going to be talking about gratefulness, thankfulness. And at the end, you're going to ask yourself, am I really being thankful? Am I being grateful? We'll let you decide at the end of this show. We'll see you in a little bit. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen.
This is the Deen Show.
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 This is the Deen.
This is the Deen Show.
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 Welcome to the Deen Show, and alhamdulillah, praise to the creator of the heavens and earth. This week on the Deen Show, we have my brother and your brother, Sheikh Omar Suleiman.
Mashallah.
How are you?
Great to be here. Alhamdulillah. Good. What about yourself?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Seems like Muslims are always praising God.
Alhamdulillah, all the time.
Through good and bad.
Absolutely.
But someone might say, look, man, even through the bad times, even when you got a flat tire and look, your wife's giving you problems and you guys are saying, alhamdulillah.
Or your husband's giving you problems.
Or your husband's giving you problems. You know, you're having a bad day and, you know, let's say you lost all your money and you're still, it's like you see the Muslims always
you're
like.
You're still saying alhamdulillah.
And that's about being grateful, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So that's what we want to talk about today, being grateful and thankful. And this is how we can, God willing, be on the way that's pleasing to the Creator, because Shaitan, he was ungrateful, and we don't want to follow his way. Is this correct?
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. You're also an instructor at Al Maghrib Institute. We don't want to go too long into it. People are going to go to the Deen Show and read your bio, but you're an...
Absolutely. So I teach with Al Maghrib Institute, with Mishkah University and Islamic Learning Foundation, alhamdulillah.
So you've been teaching a long time?
Since 2008, I started under my mentor, Dr. Salah Hassawi, with Mishkah University.
What got you motivated to do this?
That's a long story, you know, but alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, I think I had my wake-up call in high school, and afterwards, I did not grow up to a very religious youth at all, but I had my wake-up call in high school, and I, you know, alhamdulillah, was motivated to go overseas to the UAE and to Jordan, other places to study, and alhamdulillah, I had the support of my family, and it was a wonderful opportunity, alhamdulillah.
So at what point in your life, you mentioned high school now.
Right.
And it's about being grateful. At what point did you realize that there is a creator? What point did you realize that there is a creator and I need to be thankful and grateful for all the blessings, my eyesight, my hearing, you know, my tongue that I can speak with, all these faculties that he's given us? When did you conclude that, you know what, Islam is the way of life, that is the truth based on proof, and I need to follow it and be grateful?
Well, actually, it's funny, because I grew up, you know, I always knew that there was a God. And obviously, having Muslim parents, alhamdulillah, devout Muslim parents, it was something that was consistently in the back of my mind. But I think, you know, obviously, growing up sometimes in a public school, I was also playing basketball, although I'm not very good right now. I used to, you know, I was so into basketball, I was into many different things, and I think that I was just distracted. And then once I started thinking about religion, and I realized that I needed to draw close to Allah, me and my best friend, who was not Muslim, Joshua, we decided to become either Muslim or Christian together. So we were kind of in an agnostic phase slash, I don't know if you could say that I ever went through a full atheism phase, but through an agnostic phase. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we read the entire Bible. I still got that original Bible where I went through it.
You went through the whole Bible?
The whole Bible, alhamdulillah, and the whole Quran. And we chose Islam together. So Joshua now is Yusuf, alhamdulillah. And alhamdulillah, it was a wonderful change in my life. Best decision I ever made, alhamdulillah.
So wait, you were Muslim, but you came to a point where, not just because your parents are Muslim, that now by default, you're like someone who's, you have to make that conscious decision that you made.
Absolutely. I mean, I think faith is one of those things, obviously, that no one can instill in you. You know, you've got to have that birth inside of you. You've got to have that. And we as Muslims already believe you have that inclination to believe in one God, but you've got to nurture that inclination to believe in one God. And whenever you start paying attention, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you to the truth.
Is the truth something nebulous? Is it something hazy where, you know what, it's confusing, mystical. Some people think like religion is something that, you know, it doesn't have to make sense. You just blindly accept it. Is this the same thing with Islam?
Well, see, the beauty of Islam is that it's an evidence-based religion.
Evidence-based.
Absolutely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Know without a doubt that He is only one God. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges our intellect. In fact, He tells us to use our intellect to come to the conclusion of faith. And in essence, for the most part, almost everything in Islam is explained with, you know, in a way that appeals to the intellect. However, of course, there will be certain situations where you need to submit yourself and you need to, you know, just trust your faith. But as far as the foundations of the deen, you definitely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you out to use your intellect. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ The statement in the Qur'an appears many, many times. Don't you think? So absolutely, that's the beauty of it, that once you nurture your fitrah, your inclination towards God, it's as clear as night and day, alhamdulillah.
So what was it about Islam? What was it about this way of life that we know that it's the same way of life that was sent through all the messengers of God? Have a direct connection, a direct dialogue with the one who created you. No intermediaries, you're not praying to dead people in the grave, to angels, to saints, to monkeys, to elephants, to the sun, the moon, to a messenger. You're praying to the one who created creation, and you're striving your best to obey Him, to be grateful.
Right.
So what was it about it? What were some of the evidences? I know you can, you know, talk on this for the whole show, but what are some things for the viewing audience, someone who's like, man, why should I be thankful? You know what I mean? Why should I have to pray five times a day?
Right.
You know, what was it to give them this firm conviction that you found, you got from, you know, investigating Islam? What were some of the proofs and evidences?
I think that, you know, first and foremost, again, the issue of using the intellect, there was proof to it. There's proof to the Qur'an being a revelation of God. There's a proof to the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the same time, you know, I think I firmly had a belief that there was a God. Okay, but I was kind of in that phase where why would there be an organized religion? And then I thought to myself, well, why would God create us without giving us a religion and a way to get to Him? It doesn't make sense. That's just as illogical as, you know, as saying that, you know, subhanAllah, you create something like a system, a very complicated system or complex system that's meant to serve you, and then you give it no directions or instructions whatsoever. So I said, there must be instruction. And then I found that other faiths that claim monotheism, unfortunately, are not, you mentioned some examples, some reasons why, but are not 100% monotheistic. There are some flaws there. So I found that Islam was the only monotheistic faith in the true sense of the word, and I think that any professor of religion would agree. It centers around monotheism, not just monotheism in our worship, but monotheism in the way we carry ourselves, monotheism in every aspect of our lives. And that is the essence of gratitude, that you worship God the way that He wants you to worship Him. That is gratitude. That's the greatest expression of gratitude. And subhanAllah, it was just an amazing thing, because when I looked in the Bible, I found that even Isa alayhi salam, Jesus peace be upon him, was in consistent gratitude and worship of his Lord, falling on his face in prayer, as is mentioned in Matthew. And when I saw all that, and I said, you know, then why should I need to go to anyone else to get to God? You know, it's compare having to ask someone else to what says in the Quran, huwa aqrabu ilaykum min habl al-wareed, that Allah is closer to you than your jugular vein. He's right there. You can just call upon Him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly answer your call. So that was really the most appealing aspect. He's one God that is most merciful, most gracious, most compassionate, and He's also one that's accessible. You can call upon Him at any time. So you develop a direct relationship with God. And if your entire purpose is to center around God, then it's only befitting that your relationship is only with God and not with anyone else.
The car has an instruction manual. The computer has an instruction manual. You mentioned the instruction manual. The cell phone has an instruction manual.
Right.
And that makes sense. You were looking and you were like, there's got to be an instruction manual for the human being. You found
Absolutely.
It. The Quran is that instruction manual?
Alhamdulillah. The Quran and then the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The fact that you have an application. So you have, you know, the beauty of Islam is that not only is our text, our scripture, preserved so flawlessly, but the interpretation of the scripture is preserved so flawlessly, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's example. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, explained, he was a walking Qur'an, which is, so if I can't understand this word, I can just go to the Prophet ﷺ's life and I can see even the sunnah has been preserved flawlessly, alhamdulillah.
We got to go to break, we're going to be back, so not to disparage against anybody or anybody's religion, but we don't have original texts, edit-free, tamper-free, tamper-proof, like we have the Quran, where it's memorized by millions all over the globe, people have memorized this book, it's a living miracle.
Absolutely.
Is that a fact, not fiction?
That is a fact, absolutely.
We don't have, for instance, the original Bible. We don't have the original, we believe in the Torah, in the Injil, and these books that were given to Moses, to Jesus, but do we have those in their original? Because you teach a comparative religion class.
Right.
You've investigated this.
Right. Absolutely not. In fact, we would find that there are, at this point, there are over 4,000 versions of the Bible. And on top of that, there are over 36,000 sects of Christianity. And largely, once you open that door for inauthenticity, and you know, fables and traditions and adaptation to come into the faith and innovation, then unfortunately it becomes lost. Even though there might be sincerity, the intellect becomes lost, and so the way to follow and please God becomes lost also.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I'm excited, and I'm sure you're excited. We're going to be back with some more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back on the Deen Show.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Welcome back to the Deen Show. On the Deen Show, we are talking about serious topics, and this is serious because death is a reality. People are sleeping. Hollywood, Bollywood, music, entertainment, R-rated movies, everything is just distracting the people. People are laughing, fun, and games. But when the angel of death comes to take your soul, if you've been sleeping, it's going to be an uncomfortable feeling. Is that right or
Absolutely.
Is it not? So we want to do as much good as we can. And the best good is obeying the Creator and doing all the good that He's told us to do. Talk about for a minute the seriousness of taking death seriously. It's not, obviously we're not calling someone to be pessimistic and just, you know, they can't live a fruitful life, but a balanced life. So I try to like sometimes get that feeling, you know, because that feeling makes everything else, all your problems go away. When you make Jannah, when you make the hereafter big, this dunya becomes small. So talk to us that moment when death comes and the angel of death is snatching your soul out of your body. Is that something pleasant if you haven't prepared for it? You've been ignoring the call?
Well, here's the idea. I mean, what's more pessimistic than non-existence and uncertainty? So when we speak of death, we don't speak of death in a way to make people despair. In fact, despairing is a sin in Islam. You should not despair from your Creator. You know, it's actually the peak of optimism, thinking about what comes next, that there's something better, that you know what? You don't have to be all caught up trying to get your fair share in life, and if someone wrongs you, then you can turn the other cheek because you understand that there is an afterlife, that you can, you know, you can come to that peace of mind and that tranquility, understanding that there is something more than this, because obviously this world will not satisfy anybody. No one has entered into this world holistically with their spirits and with their mind, body, and soul, except that they've been disappointed. So, you know, alhamdulillah, we have something to look forward to. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually said something very powerful. He said that whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. And whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet him. So Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, she said, but O Messenger of Allah, you know, we all hate death. And he said, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, verily the believer, whenever he's given the news of the mercy of Allah and his bounties and his blessing, then he loves to meet him. And at the same time, whenever the person who has angered his Lord is given the news of the anger of his Lord and his own wastefulness and his own heedlessness, then he hates to meet God because he hates to be held accountable. So alhamdulillah, for us, we are consistently looking forward to meeting our Creator. Although we are the most afraid of possibly falling into ingratitude and things of that sort, because we understand the bounties and the blessings that He has bestowed upon us. But at the same time, we love to meet Him. We long to meet Him. It's like when you go to the airport and you've got departures and arrivals. I always notice this. You know, you go on one floor and everybody's sad and everyone's crying, and then you go on the other floor, which is arrivals, and everyone's happy and rejoicing. We're missing Allah. We can't wait to meet Him. We love God. You know, and that's why the scholar said, even when you go to your prayer, go to your prayer with a qalb that is mushtaq, with a heart that is longing for Allah. I miss you, Allah. I can't wait to talk to you. I've been missing you. I want to talk to you again. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can't wait to meet Him and to see Him, inshallah, to have that blessing and that bounty. So we're looking forward to it.
Alhamdulillah. So that's amazing. We want to see our Creator, and that is what gives us motivation. There's hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Through all the hard times, through all the good times, you know, we're not getting attached to this life, because we're going to have to say bye-bye. But those people now, and that's part of being grateful, isn't it? And that's where we're going to go on from here. I want to give a live example. I know somebody, people know certain people, and we can kind of critique, again, a person's life. And again, this is not to disparage against anybody, but for that person that we love, because Islam says love all mankind, and if we don't share, we don't care. So we are sharing, so inshallah, the person can see that we really care, and Allah cares about you the most, so be grateful so you can be successful.
Right.
We know many people are coming to Islam. It's the fastest growing way of life in the world. Some people now, they're coming to Islam, but now they're having a very hard time establishing the prayer. The call for the men on Friday is, you know, the Jummah. So we know we need to be gentle, and we need to be understanding with many of those who are coming to Islam and they're having a hard time. But how can we motivate not only the new Muslims, but many, alhamdulillah, they're jumping right into it. They're establishing the prayer, they're coming to Jummah, they're trying to leave off the things that are displeasing to the Creator, you know, around people of knowledge, and it's producing good results. Their character is getting better, they're leaving off drugs, alcohol, lying, deceiving, cheating. Islam calls the good, and it produces good. But now others, they're straggling their feet, and they're not taking these things seriously. Is that a sign of ungratefulness, unthankfulness?
Well, the challenge of shaitan, the challenge of the devil in the first place was that, oh Allah, you will not find the majority of your servants to be from those who are grateful, from a shakirin. Now, it's the reason why shaitan comes with that message, the devil tries to inspire ingratitude, is because disobedience is born out of ingratitude and obedience is born out of gratitude. You know, think about your worldly relationships, your relationship with your parents. Why is it that we have kids at 18 years old telling their parents to shut up and go away and you don't know? It's because they forgot the 18 years, and even before that, the 9 months in the belly, and even before that, the anticipation and things of that sort and the preparation, they forgot. They were ungrateful, and because of that ingratitude, they were able to disobey. Now for us, there's a great scholar of Islam by the name of Ibrahim ibn Adham, may Allah be pleased with him. A man came to him and said, you know what, give me permission to sin. Sin is making me feel guilty, so why don't you just give me an excuse to sin? He said, okay, if you want to sin against Allah, if you want to disobey your Creator, then disobey your Creator in a place where He can't see you. And he said, well, wait a minute, Allah sees me everywhere. He says, all right, let's try something else. He says, well, if you want to disobey Allah, at least have the courtesy to disobey Him in a place that doesn't belong to Him. And he said, but it all belongs to Allah. This is all His universe and His creation. In fact, the limbs that He's giving me, which I'm trying to disobey Him with, you know, that's that in and of itself, that belongs to Allah. It all belongs to Allah. He says, okay, well, at least if you're going to disobey Allah, then don't eat from His food and His drink and His sustenance. And he said, but everything is provided by Allah. Right? So those, subhanAllah, if you really think about that, you know, and you really give that some extra thought, how can I bring myself to use the capacity or the qualities that Allah has given me? You know, whether it's fame or popularity or wealth, or it's you know, intellect, or it's public speaking, how can I use that against Allah? My hands, my eyes, my feet, my... How can I use that against Allah? And so we should be saying, Alhamdulillah, we should be thanking Allah for the blessing of being able to thank Allah, because not everyone can thank Allah, right? And one great scholar, Sheikh Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini, may Allah be pleased with him, preserve him, great scholar in Egypt, he said, if Allah allows you to die saying Alhamdulillah, then you have died in debt, because you still owe Him, Alhamdulillah, for allowing you to say Alhamdulillah before you died. You still owe him one, subhanAllah, because you're able to thank him. That in and of itself is a great blessing, being able to speak and thank him. So what I'm trying to say is that, and you know, that's why gratitude is the total package. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said that whoever is not grateful, so people will not be grateful to Allah. You know, just recognizing the blessings and the bounties and the favors that people have done for you. And Allah says in the Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count the blessing in the singular, the blessing, not ni'am, the blessing of Allah, you would not be able to do so. Because from one blessing, every blessing that God has given you, you can extract hundreds and thousands of blessings. Think about the blessing of the hand. It's not one blessing. What is it that you do with your hand? Think about the blessing of your mother, the blessing of your parents, the blessing of your spouse, the blessing of your children, the blessing of your eyes. You know, I knew a brother that lost his ability to blink his eyes. He had a minor paralysis. He could not blink his eyes anymore. And he realized, subhanAllah, just the blessing of being able to blink keeps your eyes moist.
Yes.
And so he was constantly in pain afterwards because he had to keep on putting eye drops. And that's something, do we actually thank Allah for every time we blink? We don't even think about it. Are we actually able to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the thousands of processes that are taking place in our body? At this moment right now, we're not able to. So all we do is we submit ourselves in humility and say, oh Allah, I can't thank you enough, but here's my best shot. Now show me mercy. This is the best, I'm trying, but at the end of the day, I know I'm not going to be able to repay you. So please just show me mercy.
SubhanAllah. Say Alhamdulillah. Thank God. Thank God for everything that we have. Only God, the one God. That Jesus called the people to worship, that Muhammad called the people to worship, all the messengers called people to not worship themselves, but they called people to worship the one God, and we'll be right back with more here on The Deen Show.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Hay solo un Dios. Adóralo a él solo y no a su creación. I would go to my room, lock the door, prostrate and cry, saying, God, you know me better than myself. Show me the right way and I will not look back. I will leave everything behind.
Allah is our creator and he creates everything and he gives intelligence to people. Rasulullah is Muhammad, peace be upon him. Muhammad is one of the last messengers sent from God.
Back here on The Deen Show, thank you for tuning in. I said, I know a person who came to Islam and he used to believe that Jesus died for his sins, and we got to reasoning with him saying that, look, nobody is going to give you a free ride. You're accountable for yourself. Jesus never taught this. He never claimed he was God. He never said he's dying for the sins of the world. This is something of a concoction that human beings have come up with. There's only one God and you repent to him directly alone. We gave him the evidences, the proofs. And through some dialogue, through some, you know, showing the Muslim character and giving him the evidence, he accepted Islam. And it seems like at that point, he was down and out. He almost didn't have a dime to his name. And he needed a job. And we know this brother who actually gave him a job, helped him on his feet. And this is the Muslim character to help, because this is what brings us reward from the Creator. So we know that this brother was coming along. He was also in a marriage that didn't work out, and he didn't have access to his son. This was eating him up. Very intelligent man. And he was striving to want to make his own business. So he didn't have it, he didn't have a dime, he was sleeping in his car, you know. So now he started implementing Islam, and he started to be grateful. I'm telling you, this person, he successfully got his own business, started making money. Allah, the Creator, and I knew, you know how sometimes when you have a split in a relationship and it's a bad split, he couldn't get close to his son at all. It was driving him nuts. Allah softened the woman's heart and he kept complaining about this, that I want to see my son, it's eating him up. He was able to, now to this day, he has a relationship with his son. He was going to the Fajr in the masjid. He was making the the Friday khutbah, praying, you know. But now it seemed like he got the position, okay, he got his own business, he got all these things. It seems like now, what we're hearing about him, he's not even praying. He gets exasperated, he gets exasperated, irritated, when he starts hearing the call. And it seems like he drifted off. Now that he has these things, when he was down and out, sleeping in the car, didn't have a dime to his name, he was around brothers, he had a family, but now it seems like he's being less grateful and thankful. So we want to kind of talk about, in the brief few minutes that we have, what is going on. And you can see he's not happy. Before it seemed like, you know, he was just full of, he was more gregarious, he was, you know, feeling better. He said, man, when he took his shahada, it was the best day in his life. Now when you come around him sometimes, he's, like I said, he gets irritated, mood swings, angry. Right. Is this a cause of that? Talk to us.
Well, I'll just summarize it with one ayah in the Quran, one verse in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah says that if your Lord announced, proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will increase you. And if you are ungrateful, then know that my punishment is severe. Now, the interesting subtlety in this ayah, gratitude brings about increase. Increase doesn't necessarily bring about gratitude. You see, whenever you're a grateful person, your situation could not be the best of situations, but you see more. You always see the glass half full, not half empty. And so you're consistently in praise regardless of your situations. Whereas sometimes, as the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, Allah might give you, if the son of Adam is given a valley of gold, then he'll want another one. And then if he has two, he'll want three. You know, if you're after increase, some people think, once I have, then I'll become grateful. But gratitude brings about increase. And that's when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to make the dua, وَوَسِعْنِي فِي دَارِي, and grant me expansion in my home. He wasn't making dua to Allah to transform his house into a mansion. His house was so small, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about 9 by 4. I mean, it's a very small house. So small. His house was so small that whenever he would pray, he would have to tap the legs of his wife Aisha to move her legs so that he could make sujood. So was he asking Allah for a bigger house? He could have asked anybody to, you know, he was the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would have given it to him. He was saying, allow me to feel like my home is more spacious. Meaning what? Grant me blessing in what I've been given. And so that's, once you have barakah and blessing in what you're given, then you feel the increase. Then you feel the increase. Otherwise, sometimes increase can be a punishment, right? And that's, Allah says in the Quran, do not be amazed by their wealth, the wealth that they've amassed and the children, so on and so forth. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهِ. Allah wants to punish them with that. You know, it's a punishment whenever you chase this world and the things that you've toiled for turn their backs on you. Your children, for example, and you didn't instill in them Islam. You stayed away from being grateful and you did not teach them Islam properly and you were after, you know, making sure that they had a BMW and making sure they always had they were always pampered and things of that sort. And then they grow up to tell you, you know, get out of my life, I don't even know you. That's a punishment. Your wealth. When you've spent your youth, when you've spent your health, when you've spent all of that toiling after it, and then you realize at the end of the day, okay, my bank account is fuller, but I'm not any happier. That's a punishment. So what I would say to that brother and to others in that situation, understand that Allah will call you out on your unfulfilled promises. You know, and that's the thing. We all make promises whenever we're in states of vulnerability.
And I'm sure he did.
Absolutely. And Allah will call you out on that. You know, it's Allah helped, you know, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to us a story of a leper, a blind man, and a bald man, you know, who were all poor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel to all three of them. And the angel asked them what they wanted. And just to paraphrase the hadith, I'm really paraphrasing the hadith, each one of them wanted for their sickness to be cured and wanted a valley of some sort of animal. And Allah gave it to all of them. Two of them became ungrateful. And whenever they saw a person in the same situation that they were, so the leper saw a leper, so on and so forth, whenever they saw a person in the exact same situation as them, they acted like they've never been in that situation. They were arrogant, and it was actually an angel that was posing as a man in the situation that they used to be in to show them, hey, look, this is what you used to be. Don't forget what you used to be. Because in essence, when we become ungrateful, it's because we forgot who we were. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ مَا أَكْفَرَ. may man be destroyed, how ungrateful is he. من أي شيء خلق. From what was he created? Allah reminds you what you were created from. You forgot where you came from. You forgot your moment of vulnerability. You know, Allah says, ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. You know, first you were created from a dirty drop of fluid, then Allah made the path easy for you. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, it's not just Islam, the path of Islam easy. Allah literally made the path easy for you coming out of your mother's stomach. How many children die in labor? How many mothers die in labor? You know, how miraculous is it when you study medicine that a child can even make it out there? So Allah reminds you of your origin. So when you go back and you remember your state of vulnerability, then you say, wow, Allah gave me all of this and look at what I'm doing. Look at how I'm repaying. You know, I'm repaying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only with ingratitude and disobedience. So we ask Allah to protect us. We all fall in that. We all fall in that.
May Allah protect us and help us to be grateful so we can get to Jannah, paradise. Ameen. People can look you up at El Maghrib and Mishkat.
And Islamic Learning Foundation.
And also. Islamic Learning Foundation, what it is a particular website?
ilfhouston.org, mishkahuniversity.com, and almaghribinstitute.org.
Take his class, take his class. We can benefit from your knowledge. May Allah, the Creator, increase
you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. Wafiqum. Thank you very much. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Dean Show. We got to benefit from another one of our guests. God willing, you'll take this information and you will implement it. And be grateful and thankful before death overtakes you. And you don't want to die in a state that you've forgotten about the Creator. So now He's made you forget about yourself. You know where you came from a dirty fluid. And look at you now. God Almighty has answered your prayers and has given you so much. And what does He expect from us? To be good, to do good. So we can be the best in society. And you have to follow the blueprint. Otherwise, you can't do it on your own. You'll be following your lusts and desires and you'll end up destroying yourself. So don't destroy yourself. Be the best that you can be and bring yourself to the full potential. But you got to follow the game plan. The game plan is what the Creator has sent down throughout time. And we have it preserved in the Quran, last and final revelation sent to mankind, and the authentic sayings, traditions of the last and final message of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It's there. And if you'd like to pick it up, give us a call at 1-800-662-ISLAM. To learn more, we'll see you next time, inshallah, God willing. Don't forget to pick up the new Dunya Tadeen also at eddiedvd.com. We'll see you next time. Peace be unto you.